House Committee on Water and Environment, Wednesday, May 12, 1999, 1 p.m., Hearing Room D, Representative Jim Welch, Chair, Christina McNitt, Administrator.
Committee on the House Water and Environment, and I'd like to open on a hearing on House Bill 2979 to start with here. Go over some details on what they're working on right at the moment. Jay McCauley, I think, and Paul Hanneman are here. I could explain the amendments to it, and then I'll give the department a chance to chat a little bit about it first. I think I'll bring this back up on Friday, because I think they have some amendments to the amendments. So I think I'm putting together some recommendations too. So maybe we'll get a point of time where we can pass it out. James, go ahead. Mr. McCall. That'd be fine.
Good afternoon, Chairman Welch, members of the committee. My name is Jay McCauley. I reside at 1555 North Jansen Street, Portland, 97217. The three essential elements created by these amendments are, number one, the essential tools the division needs for the program, such as the inventory, basic guidance, very basic guidance for management of this waterway leasing program, and an interim methodology, if you will, to build the program over the next year and a half. This primarily is based on the elements recommended by the task force and the public hearings as they progress, and what we've been able to learn and glean out of this program over the last 3-4 years. Most of the members that we met with throughout this process were members of the task force, so what it comes down to is if you have any questions about the direction this is going, please ask the task force members to participate in this. Okay, there are four. Okay, and we just got a copy of the amendments just prior to the hearing. There were four clarifications that were really needed. Number one, on page one, the bottom of the page, whereas the division does not have a readily available basis for determination of market values because of the absence of usual, accustomed, and competitive open market sales, verbiage needs to be added to include lease, license, and registrations. Those are the four basic elements of what the division does with submerged and submersible lands.
And this, excuse me, Jay, could you specify for our staff here, we'd like to know what line that is on, and make sure you say it's the dash form, and then what line and placement within that line, please.
Perfect. It would be line 23, and after competitive on the dash 4 amendments would include, okay, this verbiage, and competitive open market lease, license, registration, and sales, semicolon, and. On page 3, section 3, sub 1, the word increase, line 6, the word increase needs to be removed. The recommendation of the task force was to make this program net revenue neutral. Now, because of the inventory, there are quite a few other structures that may be leasable or registrable. The idea is to keep this revenue neutral at this point until those are brought into the fold, if you will. So the word increase needs to be deleted.
The language changed on that.
Okay, right.
Pardon? Okay, on page 4.
Yep.
Where, you take increase.
If you take increase out, what word will we put in there, Jay?
Oh, excuse me. Okay.
Okay, you come up with that later, too.
Okay, let's see. Actually, I had it for a second here. Okay, it should read more like, in an effort to find all eligible structures for lease, license, and registration and sales.
Okay.
Section 4, or excuse me, page 4, section 4, line 8. I'm sorry, excuse me. Line 7, this is still in section 3. Okay, at the end of that sentence, and equally distributed amongst all rate categories. Section 4, line 16.
Mr. Chair,
interrupting, Mark.
For clarification, can you start with on line 4, the sentence that starts the purpose of this inventory, and read to us the way that you want it to be amended?
Yes. The purpose of this inventory shall be to identify structures that are on or over state-owned, submerged, and submersible property in an effort to find all structures eligible for lease, license, registration, or sale. I can see that's going to be problematic.
That's all right. We'll work out the details. It's kind of give us the gist of what your and location, Jay, and work those details out.
Terrific.
After the meeting, before Friday. You. And the other location for amendments were in
yes.
Section 4?
Okay, Section 4, line 16, sub 3. That we were not trying to cause the division to require this. Okay, the division, right now it reads the division shall. It should read more along the lines of if needed or requested by the division. Again, this is going to be somewhat problematic because they did change the concept of what I was trying to get at. Okay, what I'm trying to say with this is that if an appraisal is indeed needed by the division for their management as a management tool for them, they need to be able to call for one.
Okay.
But not necessarily required. You know, the division can judge when that's going to be needed for their purposes. Okay, on page 5, the last one, thank you for your indulgence. Line 1, it's still part of section 4. Okay, it should read, the term of the loan lots of 10 years. And the concept that I was trying to get across in my amendments was that they, if they're given a 30-year financing for this, for their project, of course it has to cover the term of the loan, or they won't get the loan, plus a reasonable amount of time for a rate of return beyond getting past their financing payments. So it would be the term of the loan plus 10 years.
Okay. We need to get those concepts in that down to Legislative Council.
Thank you, Chairman Welch.
Okay. Can you explain some of that in your letter here, too?
Yes, I do.
Okay, good.
Yes.
And now?
Chairman Welch, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to come before you. You have a copy of some comments. There was a couple of attachments in light of the time. Do we have time to read this and to the record for you?
Well, let's hang on and look at that on Friday, if we could.
Fine.
I just appreciate that. I've got some other bills here. I want to move on. And
thank you. You have other task force members in attendance who have followed this process through the 3.5-4 years in the tents in the back of the room. If you have any questions of any of us, we're certainly here to respond.
Good. Okay. We can still come back here. I think we've got a legislator or two that were showing up for another bill, so I wanted to move them in and out of here as quick as possible. So I'm going to give the department a chance after I open up in another bill and close on that. So we'll still come back.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Close hearing on House Bill 2979. And let's open the bill. Okay, get a current one here. Bill 524. Senator George and Representative Thompson.
You get to answer all the hard questions.
I'm going to lead off.
I'll be brief.
I know. That is a precarious position to be in. Yeah.
Representative Thompson, District 4. This bill is a bill that's plagued Yahats for a long time. We believe there's a resolution available. What we'd like to do is have this bill move forward and go to conference committee, and we believe that we can get a bill that can be signed by the governor and agreed by all, and looks like a fix that is a long time coming, and we hope to be able to move it forward.
Hey, Senator Harry George, District 2, I don't think the bill has been plaguing Yahats. We've been attempting with the bill to solve the problem for Yahats. It's been a lengthy period of process. I'd like to describe that. And initially, questions were raised about if this was too broad an approach to solve a specific problem. We had senators such as you heard the other day, Senator Dukes, who represents the North Coast, who spoke to the fact that this problem may be facing other jurisdictions down on the coast. And when I spoke to her today on the floor, she expressed the concern that by narrowing it, which we're doing today, we might exclude other people from having some sort of remedy, a fair process. Rob, we're depending upon him because he has been the one who has worked most closely with this. Legislative Council, DLCG, the Governor's Office, have all participated in meetings in which we've held trying to come up with a language that solves the problem but yet does not, in fact, interfere with land use planning laws. Rob, I'll let you go ahead and explain if you work for your
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to again discuss Senate Bill 524 with you. As you may recall, at the last hearing, quite a number of questions arose about technical details, and I promised the committee I would provide some answers to those questions because we kind of ran out of time. We stayed until 6 o'clock, as I recall. And so I provided you with a 3-page answer sheet to address a lot of those questions. However, and I'd be happy to further detail those for you or summarize them if you wish. However, I've got to say that we've been working with DLCD and other parties on some amendments to try to confine the scope of Senate Bill 524, and we've created what are the -1 amendments. I believe DLCD will tell you that we're very close. We're not quite there yet to make them happy that we've confined it quite enough, but we're getting very close. So we would ask that you incorporate the -1 amendments into Senate Bill 524 and move that out today. We have a number of additional things we'll be doing if that happens. We'll be working with them to come up with some additional confining language that we think we can live with that can be adopted in conference committee. And we'll also be attempting to set up some informal mediations to see if we can resolve some other issues lingering with this 804 South issue. And with that, what I provided the committee for the record, because I didn't know we would be exactly doing this today until we got here, in addition to the answers that I've provided, I've also provided you some attachments to that answer, basically a letter from Oregon Shores Conservation Coalition from 97 that addresses some of the mediation discussion that we talked about in the past and why I think the sides have been so very polarized. And then also, just to address the notion that the commissioners make willy-nilly decisions about public and the public interest, I provided you with this, which is the actual decision in 804 South. The record is close to 3,000 pages long, not including oversized exhibits. We held 4 public hearings. The commissioners found 7 public interest things to consider, and these are their detailed findings of fact. This is anything but a willy-nilly decision of the commissioners of Boone County. I just wanted you to have that. I'm not asking you to read it, digest it, and understand it, but just to know that this is not willy-nilly.
Thank you for not giving us 3,000 pages.
And again, back to my 3-page response. You know, I got to tell you, Lincoln County believes firmly that Senate Bill 524 is a broad bill. It's good public policy. Returning local control over local roads to local government is good policy, and that's where it should go. However, you know, we see the light of day, I guess, from the realities here, and the primary concern is to get the 804 South situation taken care of. And so we've made that a priority, and we're willing to have the -1 amendments moved into the bill. And continue, obviously, to work with DLCD and other interested parties to confine it as best we can.
Questions from the committee?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to be a little clearer about what your intent is with the measure.
Mr. Chair, Representative Taylor, with the measure as amended, or the measure itself? The measure itself sought to basically return local control over local roads by making them vacation decisions, not a land use decision, putting them back in the Chapter 368 statutes where we believe they belong. The amendments would basically confine the reach of the bill to the facts of South 804. The language we came up with to confine it would basically have a tack on, and it would read, comma, provided residential lots within city limits have been platted over the public road right-of-way, and then it goes on with the majority of lots developed with residential dwellings. So that was one that we came up with to basically describe the South 804 situation. As I mentioned, DLCD is concerned that that may encompass a little bit more, and they've got some hypothetical situations that we want to discuss with them, and maybe we can tack on some additional tack-on language to bring it down even more. It's a very difficult situation for us to draft these amendments, I should tell you, because every time we come up with something we think will work, an anomaly crops up in the 804 South situation and would essentially knock 804 South out of the amendment, which is exactly what we don't want to accomplish.
So you'd be ready for us to move the bill as with a -1 amendment?
We would ask you, Mr. Chair, we would ask you to do that today.
I guess I'm not quite ready to do that because I would need to hear that the concerns that we've heard expressed before us have also been addressed, and that would be that we're taking this out of the land use arena entirely. I know that you bring Ocean Shore's 2-year-old letter to us, but I'm not sure what the intent of this is.
Mr. Chair, Representative Taylor, the purpose of that was to show you why the parties, one of the many reasons why the parties to the 804 situation have become so very polarized. What you have here is not anything more in short supporting what we're proposing today. This is a 2-year-old letter basically demanding that the county remove all the obstructions in the 804 South right-of-way, all the houses to go away. And this is signed by the president of Oregon Shores Conservation Coalition and president of Friends of 804. So this is one of the things that were said. And there's a lot of things said, a lot of things done to polarize these parties. And this is my effort to explain to you why mediation has been in the past and will continue to be a very difficult thing to grasp.
One more observation, if I may, Mr. Chair. We heard from a woman who sat here for 4 hours that day of the hearing. And in the end, she wasn't cranky. She was, I thought, quite lovely. She said she thought there was a solution there somewhere. We heard from some property owners along there who said they welcomed the public walking on property along the front of their addition, would be willing to maintain that as a right-of-way. What you're asking us to do here today is to cut off all that kind of consideration, it seems to me.
Mr. Chair, Representative Taylor, actually I don't think so. I think what we're asking you to move forward on this fix to what I believe is a historic error. This won't end all of the 804 disputes that are going on. You've got to realize that there's 804 North, 804 Middle, and 804 South. Which you heard, I believe, maybe Commissioner McMillan you were referring to. She talked to you quite extensively about 804 North, what a beautiful trail it is, and how a lot of the folks have gotten together to do a lot of good things there, including, I would add, Boynton County Board of Commissioners, who denied the vacation of 804 North appropriately so. You also heard from a number of other folks who are interested parties to this case from a variety of perspectives. I'm certainly not saying that there can't be a mediated solution to some of these issues. And I, for the county's part, have expressed a willingness to participate in that. I would just caution you that this has been a long process. A lot of things have been said and a lot of things have been done to, as I described it, very put the parties that are polarized tremendously. I know all these folks. I live in Lincoln County. We have a small county. These are all wonderful, wonderful people on both sides of this issue. And a lot of them feel very strongly, and it hurts when you see them, a community like ours, become so divided and attacking each other. And it's just something that we'd like to find a healing process. But I don't think in any way that should stop the process of Senate Bill 524 moving ahead to fix what is a problem in the law that surfaced during this process. Again, as I stated in my three-page answer to series. I mean, the bottom line, in terms of blame, is that this situation is not the result of anyone's fault, mistake, or even negligence. This situation is the direct result of a change in understanding of how public road rights of way can or cannot be eliminated. This wouldn't have been an issue in 1974. In fact, it wasn't an issue in 1974 when the commissioners chose to vacate Middle 804, which on its facts is functionally equivalent. But now we have the imposition or the superimposition of land use law, and the LCD took a position, and along with Thousand Friends and Oregon Shores, that land use law prohibits this vacation, this error correction. I think the LCD will tell you that that was not the intention, but that is nonetheless the position taken, and we're happy to work with them on further confining the reach of this bill so we don't impact anything else unnecessarily. Although, again, I got to tell you, I think Senate Bill 524 and its broad implications is the right policy. I'm willing to give up on that at this point in time.
Bob Rindy?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Bob Rindy for the Department. The Department is in, it seems, an uncomfortable position at this point in that our position from the beginning on this bill has been, if the bill is sets a broad policy that in our view would make it harder for access to be maintained and obtained along the coast, we're opposed to that bill. At the same time, if the bill is narrowed to the point where it deals with only a specific case, a very small portion of the coast, and that would be a situation that would cause us to be neutral on the bill, but that doesn't at all, I don't want that to imply that we would be for a bill that, result, that essentially adjudicates a very complicated court case. It just means that we wouldn't oppose it. We think mediation is the way to go in this. We tried to get the parties to mediate. We offered them mediation money. That still hasn't succeeded, and still hopeful. In fact, there's even been discussion today in the hall that mediation is a way to resolve this rather than a bill. In terms of the broader bill, we think the solution should be one that would have LCDC look at the very specific language of Goal 17, Implementation Requirement 6, that's sort of the central focus of this bill. Whereas that language is causing this problem today, I don't think that LCDC would be averse to reexamining that language, it's a very old language, and maybe resolving that, and by rulemaking, resolve the problem coast-wide. I just think that in order to do that, we have to look at all the different situations that occur up and down the coast in order to make sure that we're comfortable with the language that would resolve it, you know, that it wouldn't have detrimental implications on access for the coast. So our preferred solution is mediation. Our preferred solution is rulemaking to resolve the language. If the legislature wishes to, in a sense, adjudicate this court case, we will be neutral. We are real close on language. We gave the parties abroad set of some language that we thought would resolve the court case. We've had some back and forth on confining that language and getting all the T's crossed and the I's dotted, and we just have run out of time. But as you heard earlier, I think we're real close on that, but I just want to be clear that even if we get to that language, and I think we can, and resolve the court case, that doesn't mean that we are for the bill. It just means we are neutral.
Mr. Chairman, yes. To give you a little bit of background further on this, is that from the very beginning we said if there was any amendments, anything that could be done to make the bill more acceptable to more people, we were perfectly willing to do that. As I said, we met with the LCD, we met with the governor's office representative, felt that they were relatively comfortable, at least with the full bill. The other issue that I would like you to think about, because it will be your decision, is the fact that we understand that these investigations of ancient records are going on all up and down the coast, and you heard Senator Duke express her concern that this may have to be addressed someplace else. So I'm not suggesting that you not move the dash ones or move the dash ones. I'm just saying is that think about this. If arbitration or mediation or anything else would have worked, it would have worked long before that. It's a very, as I expressed to you earlier, very gracious and considerate and very pro-land use community in Yahats and in Lincoln County in general. And yet we couldn't arrive at a conclusion because you had basically old records that ended up being in conflict with final decisions. And so I think we need to clarify it, and we will rely upon your decision. I thank you for your time.
What is the... For the parties, what are some of the legal presumptions upon mediation? What are the positions? Are there some existing presumptions when you start out in mediation?
Well, Mr. Chair, mediation has been proposed throughout this long process, and I guess informally it's taken place among attorneys and discussions. It's been quite a lengthy process. At various times, people have gotten their danders up and imposed various preconditions or statements, such as you have from Oregon Shores, which obviously doesn't help more people together. It's possible that you might get the folks together at the table. I tell you, it's going to be a real chore to get the folks together just at the table because we're in litigation, because we've gone through this trauma. It's tougher now than it was 2 years ago, and it was tough enough back then.
Mr. Chairman.
Nothing, GML.
Mr. Chairman, Senator George, I just wanted to refresh my memory from last time.
Mm-hmm.
The people that built their homes, was it 1974?
No, in the 50s. I'm
in the 50s?
Somewhere in the term.
Just give you a little bit of background further on this, is that from the very beginning we said if there was any amendments, anything that could be done to make the bill more acceptable to more people, we were perfectly willing to do that. As I said, we met with the OCD, we met with the governor's office representative, felt that they were relatively comfortable, at least with the full bill. The other issue that I would like you to think about, because it will be your decision, is the fact that we understand that these investigations of ancient records are going on all up and down the coast, and you heard Senator Dukes express her concern that this may have to be addressed someplace else. So I'm not suggesting that you not move the dash ones or move the dash ones. I'm just saying is that think about this. If arbitration or mediation or anything else would have worked, it would have worked long before that. This is very, as I expressed to you earlier, very gracious and considerate and very pro-land use community in Nahant and in Lincoln County in general. And yet we couldn't arrive at a conclusion because you had basically old records that ended up being in conflict with final decisions. And so I think we need to clarify it, and we will rely upon your decision. I thank you for your time.
What is the, as per the parties, what are some of the legal presumptions upon mediation? What are the positions? Are there some existing presumptions when you start out in the mediation?
Well, Mr. Chair, mediation has been proposed throughout this long process, and I guess informally it has taken place among attorneys in discussion, which has been quite a lengthy process. At various times, people have gotten their danders up and imposed various preconditions or statements such as you have from Morgan Shores, which obviously doesn't help move people together. It's possible that, you know, you might get the folks together at the table. I tell you, it's going to be a real chore to get folks together just at the table. Because we're in litigation, because we've gone through this trauma. It's tougher now than it was 2 years ago, and it was tough enough back then.
Mr. Chairman.
Trustee GNO.
Mr. Chairman, Senator George, I just wanted to refresh my memory.
Mm-hmm.
The people that built their homes, was it 1974?
No, in the 50s. I'm
in 50s. The 50s?
Somewhere in
Mr. Chair, it actually occurred, the subdivision occurred in 1953, so the houses began to be built in the early 50s, mid-50s, and then all the way up until the present.
A follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Yes, follow-up.
Some of them are being asked to remove their homes now. Do I understand that right?
Mr. Chair, Representative, that was something that occurred a couple of years ago. There was actually a complaint filed. There's been quite a number of suggestions from a variety of folks. Of course, that would be the property owner's ultimate fear is that, you know, they lose their homes. They also have a whole series of, I believe, very legitimate lesser fears. The other than suggestions that they're given a life estate. Well, essentially, they lose their property that way as well. At least they don't have anything to pass on. You know, right now they're existing under a situation where their title is encumbered to this degree. I mean, they've, you know, suffered the emotional trauma as well that I can't even begin to describe. I don't live there, but, you know, I've seen it. So, you know, where the people's, the various people that would have to come together to do anything in terms of mediation would start from would be probably key to seeing whether they could even get there and the preconditions that might be imposed. We're quite a ways down the river here. A lot of water is flowing under the bridge. You know, and I've offered my services to help in any way I can, but I think we need to move on this bill today, if at all possible.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Yes, follow up.
Do you think that the Dash One amendment would solve the problem in Yaha?
Mr. Chair, Representative, I think it would resolve the bigger legal issue of the application of Land Use Planning Goal 17 to prohibit essentially correcting this error. Because right now that's the clear position of PLCD, Thousand Friends, Oregon Shores. They've all taken a clear position that Goal 17 prohibits you from correcting this error. I think this bill, even with the Dash 1 amendment, would resolve that issue. Certainly it won't resolve all the other issues that go along with it. I think it would resolve that by removing it from being a land use decision. That answers your question.
Thank you.
Representative Taylor.
I wanted to ask a question of Mr. Wendy In your view, does this weaken Bill 17 if we should pass this bill for a vacation or street out of the...
Mr. Chair, Representative Taylor, the original bill, taking vacations out of land use arena, in our view, was greatly weakened the portion of our program that seeks to maintain and access to the beach. The confining amendments that are proposed in Dash 1, in our view, do go a great way of the distance towards making sure that this amendment only applies to the case in Yahas. We have a couple of minor glitches with that language. We sort of have gone back and forth with proposals, sort of narrowing our, getting ourselves to the final language, and we just ran out of time on that. We have a couple of, there's a clause that we would like to work on because we think it does something that it's not intended to do right now. But in general, we're pretty close with the new language.
I got a question.
Thank you. Yes, in regard to the title reports, from your commentary, it appears like you've done an inventory of those. How many properties did you inventory, and how many of them showed the underlying property on the title, road on the title reports?
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, actually, I don't know the exact answer to that, but Mr. Roberts is here from the AHAT, and actually, there was some litigation with at least one of the title companies. I know there were three title companies involved in title policies against Sam, the whole gamut of when houses were built and properties were exchanged from the 50s up to the 80s. And the policies had different exclusionary clauses, and so some of them, you know, there isn't any coverage at all. Some of them, there may be some level of coverage. And I can't answer to specific properties because I wasn't involved in that, you know, that litigation between the property owners and the title companies.
Can you give us those numbers?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if I could, believe you. Chairman Wilson, Representative Taylor, I'll go ahead and address this. Thank you. If you read Goal 17, it's a great goal. This is defined in very vague terms, a certain set of ideas, goals that we intend to achieve. We've done those things. We preserve those. We just sent Senate Bill 1060 over to you, which even clarifies more and ensures that there will be not only a lockdown on the number of access that are there, but encourages that there be more in a very direct and affirmative way. The thing I'd like to communicate to you, though, is no one ever, 73, 83, 93, would have ever anticipated that anyone would suggest that Goal 17 was going to come in and take a house that was maybe built in 1954 and say you're going to close it down for some obscure trail that was marked on a map before the turn of the century. Nobody would have contemplated that, particularly where you had a city that was so receptive to the idea of maintaining public access to the beach, and you've heard that comment from the city. You also, I don't know if Parks was able to get in here and speak to you, but I shared with you last time I was here, Oregon State Parks' opinion of the issue was that, oh, there's no problem that actually access is generated in many areas in and around the South 804 area, and that the access to the public beach is in fact sound and secure in that area. I think it's an extension, an expansion of a vague goal to include something that I don't think anyone anticipated, with the consequences of a trauma to a whole community. And I think we need to clarify it. Thank you.
I actually didn't hear. I heard just the opposite from the testimony here, that there was no intent to have people bulldoze down their houses. But they were concerned that the public right-of-way be maintained. I actually am familiar with the area, have visited there many times, and I, being a coastal representative myself, I know that access is not only automobile access, it also includes pedestrian access, and for some people that seems to be the important issue about the situation. They say that lacking that access, the trail that exists on the north part of 804, as I recall, then has to come a block back behind the residential area. I had hoped that there might be some interest in compromise, and that there might be And what I've heard, though, is that the Ocean Shores people are willing to go into mediation, but that the county is not, or that you think it would serve no purpose.
Representative Wells, can I address that? And then I'm going to let the attorney address it. Representative Wells, Representative Taylor. If you walk the area from the north to the south and you move through the area that we're describing where the homes are in 804, what you find out is there's a transition from a crude trail to basically a city street where the distance between you and where the actual ancient trail was drawn, they actually be up in the tens of feet. They kind of converge and then they diverge again. And you're walking down a street in which particularly you had local citizens who were receptive to the idea of visitors utilizing that street and the public accesses that existed, you know, in through that. What the result now is, though, because of aggressive action by a group, is that courteous, respectful use of the city street, which no one could deny anyway, which actually, if you look at the map, is so close to even being parallel to 804 or being 804 probably in a couple places. The point of that is, though, is that there is not access denied in any way public. The two ends connect through the center on the existing street. They even line up very well. And I shared with you last time that my wife, when she looked at it, she said, I can't imagine what the problem would be. This is very lovely. And the connection on the south side, basically, at the little inlet is consistent with the idea of walking or driving that area. So thank you very much.
That's it, Martin.
It would seem to me that the department appears to have some problems, but that you're very close to a resolution. And I would think that in the interest of putting this into a mode where there was some reason to get going on a solution to it, that it would make sense to move the dash ones to it and pass it out of the committee, but urge everybody here to keep working on this, and that as it goes over to the Senate side, to continue to refine it so that when it comes out of that, it'll be something that the department can feel good about.
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, if I could add, I couldn't have said it better. Lincoln County is extremely motivated to make the LCB happy to the extent we possibly can, and I've expressed that with them. We are also very motivated to do whatever we can to heal the Yahas community, including participating or instigating or working with DLC to get mediation on any of the various issues that are brought up. So, I'm here again, and I'll be here as many times as I need to be. We're very motivated to resolve this issue.
If I could also respond, Representative Morgan, we would like to see a resolution of this. As I stated at the beginning, we're very uncomfortable being in the mode of being sort of central to this solution, in that this bill is a solution that essentially resolves a court case, and we don't like being in that role. So what we're seeking is language that, in our view, has the least impact on the broader question of statewide access. But what I really want us to do in intervening time here is we're going to be working again to try and see if we can get mediation restarted. And we do have a program to mediate land use disputes. I think we've pretty much exhausted the resources in that terms of money-wise, but we have other agencies we can seek to do that. So that's what we're going to be doing.
Mr. Chair,
I
do recognize clearly that a mediated settlement to this would be by far the best outcome, but based on the testimony that we have received here and in the last session that we heard this bill, I really do have grave doubts at this point in time whether that is going to be a possibility or not. And I do think that in terms of the property rights of the people that in good conscience bought these pieces of land and built their houses on it with documentation that they had clear title to that property, that we owe them the peace of mind of clearing up this problem in an expedition. Well, it isn't even expeditious at this point. This has been going on for years. And so, Mr. Chair, I would like to move the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 524.
I'm in the public hearing.
Sorry.
That was a really nice try.
It was a good.
Okay. I've got several others that might still have testimony too. Thank you. Have you got another question?
I do have another question. Thank you, Mr. Chair. What is the width of the right-of-way?
Mr. Chair, Representative Merkley, it's 60 feet. It's a standard county road right-of-way.
It seems to me that I think about this issue of compromise, about the only thing I could imagine would be a walking trail on which a 5-foot right-of-way is substituted for a 60-foot right-of-way or something like that. We had testimony by folks that the view from the residential street is far different than being able to walk where you can see this wonderful vision. Has there ever been a proposal put forward by anyone to consider a different resolution, perhaps a walking or biking path that would wander in and out of the right-of-way? And I say in and out because at some point they would have to wander out of the right-of-way and onto either the edge of some of the private property that is outside the right-of-way or some of the public land that's near the top of the bluff in order to progress without running into a house. I'm assuming that's the type of issue that would be looked at in a mediation. Is it one that's been on the list? Has any kind of proposals? Is that type of possibility?
Mr. Chair, Representative Merkley, actually, yes. And at various times, I would say both sides have shied away from that for a variety of reasons, either because they're so polarized or because they want the whole thing or they're not willing to give anything, as the case may be. There are the practical problems you've talked about. You know, basically the right-of-way runs off the bluff and we have to get additional land. And then there's other practical problems with basically state parks telling us they, you know, wouldn't want it there on the edge anyways if you were able to define it, because it would actually cause additional erosion to the bluff. Among the string of issues, the Board of Commissioners and a whole bunch of folks actually walked down the corner of these houses one day during the public hearing. They basically continued the public hearing to the site and walked out there. Keep in mind that this portion of the right-of-way doesn't connect anything. There's a vacated area in Aqua Vista in front of the Adobe. There's no way to connect up South 804, North 804, unless you tore down additional houses in a hotel or did a taking or did something, because there's no connection there. And I should also say that, and I guess I'm going back on my word here, if you want to look at the Board of Commissioners order, one of the things it actually did was arguably enhanced access. One of the things it did was it authorized me to do a taking on lot 26, I think is what it is, to enhance public access in this area. You might see this creek bed running towards the north of this area here. They authorized me to do a taking on that and to provide additional access that's not currently existing. So I would suggest to you that, if anything, the decision made by the Lincoln County Board of Commissioners goes further to implement the idea of Goal 17 than Implementation Requirement 6.
By taking, you mean a condemnation that the property owner is compensated for?
Representative Merkley, exactly.
This was an undeveloped.
That was that lot is actually an undeveloped common lot that arguably, I guess, will be owned by all of the subdivision lot holders. And the commissioners authorized me, if this gets finally resolved, to do a taking on that for the public. In addition to the fact that, I guess I should note that a couple of these lots, I think it's one or two, are actually owned by the city. They're actually to provide public access right now.
All right. Thank you. Eric Watson.
Sheriff, could Mr. Colmar join you?
Yes, that'd be fine.
Chair, members of the committee, thank you for continuing this and allowing us time to present our views. One of the joys of being here is that I don't have to carry these darn papers around anymore. I'm Eric Watkins. I'm an attorney, mediator in private practice in Lane County. I'm a co-counsel for Oregon Shores in the 804 litigation, and I'm a second-generation member of the board of directors of Oregon Shores. I'd like to do four things today. One is to clarify Oregon Shores' role. I'd also like to back clean up on some questions from last Wednesday. I'd like to summarize the written testimony of our lead counsel, Steve Schell, who's a land use attorney. I'm rapidly becoming a land use attorney, but primarily I'm a mediator. And I'd like to assess the options that are before you. There are two sides to the issue, and I hope we can see that. Oregon Shores, initially this issue was addressed by the Friends of 804, an affiliate organization of Oregon Shores, as a spinoff of its work members who monitoring the coast as part of the Coast Watch program, and they identified this problem of the unresolved right-of-way. They brought that to the attention of the Oregon Shores board, and we recommended that they try mediation for a number of reasons. And I'm a mediator. I think this issue is eminently resolvable through mediation. For a number of reasons, rapid polarization, miscommunication, lack of communication, that didn't happen. And the homeowners sought vacation. They petitioned for vacation, and Oregon Shores looked at the issue and saw a coastal road, along the coast, which was specifically addressed by Goal 17 Implementation Requirement 6 as something to be preserved. So we saw this as a public right-of-way, which had existed up until 1954, and actually had existed after that as property was being built and people continued to use to walk along the headlands, and as it became built up, access was restricted, so there was some continued use. Actually, there was minimal continued use on the south end up until a couple of years ago. Of course, the cluster who you met last week walked on the southern couple of lots, which weren't built on. So we saw this as a property issue, but it was a public property issue, and it was a taking of public property inappropriately, and we sought a solution that would resolve that. The only thing that we could do at that time was to weigh in an opposition of the petition. That became very rancorous, and the county commissioners chose to vacate, and we had to appeal that to LUBA, where it sits now. The LUBA decision was due 10th of March, I believe, and it's still pending. They have a new set of judges, and they're reviewing and working on that. We don't know when that will come out. This is high risk for us. Oregon Shores has a very strong reputation in the state as a protector of the beaches, and this was a risky venture because we could lose credibility, and we could look bad because it could be construed that we're trying to kick people out of their homes. And that wasn't our intention. Rob Levesque brought in a document that indicates that was our intention, the removal of obstructions from the right of way. And I think probably in the very long term, in a very Monterey Bay kind of way, that would be the ideal solution, was that that would be open property. But we do not wish to take away the homeowner's property rights. And as a mediator, I believe that that is a mediatable solution, that those two positions are compatible. Anyway, we weighed in on it, and and here we are today. On the questions that have come up before, Representative Morgan had indicated that she thought that we would have been better served by talking to the homeowners, and we absolutely agree. We would be happier in pigs and mud to mediate this. And we would have been happy to do it early on. Unfortunately, the term mediation has come to mean something that that scares the homeowners, because it seems to indicate to them that they're going to lose something. And I don't see it like that way. You have to. The term compromise is often used, and I don't associate compromise with mediation. When I mediate, the parties walk away feeling like they won. And I think that can happen in this case. Chairman Welch asked for the 1977 letter from the county commissioners to the homeowners, and I believe Fran Rack and Portia Foster and Mr. Kohlmeier have all provided that, and that was the one where they indicated that they brought to the attention of homeowners there was a right-of-way, and then the homeowners, they proposed the solution of the trail. So that was initial proposal solution of the trail, and that was rejected. I will tell you that as a mediator and not as the attorney representative of Oregon Shores, that the proposal of solutions in this kind of body or in litigation is that's negotiation, and it's not mediation. So when we propose a trail, it's almost assured to be rejected. It's almost assuredly going to be rejected. You have to sit down and determine what your underlying interests are, not your position. We want vacation or we don't want vacation, but what your underlying interests are. And then when you know what your underlying interests are, then you can determine where your commonalities are, and you can reach agreement.
Mr. Watkins.
Yes, sir.
I don't want to mediate this
here.
Committee. I'm not interested at all in that. Two parties have a chance to make that decision. What I would like to hear is if there's anything new to provide us. We've heard a lot of testimony on this already. They brought us forward in the piece of legislation. Now we have to make that decision whether or not we're going to act on it or not. And I understand mediation is still something that's out there if we don't decide to act here. So what I'd like to do is hear a little further. Mr. Kohlmeier has some more to add, and anything new that we haven't heard yet, testimony from the property owners or some people within the town. This is a very local issue also. And they've narrowed, with the amendments, the approach and makes it even more local. So, I think as we look at that, that's what we need to consider right now.
The danger of the Dash One amendment, although it's local, it still impacts on Goal 17 and Implementation Requirement 6. It still would eliminate the public right-of-way without the opportunity for mediation. There's been some discussion about mediation, but if it escapes me, I just don't believe that the homeowners have any incentive to seek mediation in good faith if the Dash 1 amendment is passed in committee. I don't see where the upside is for them to mediate. Senator George has said that Goal 17 is vague. It's not vague in this case. It's very clear. It's very clear in this. and I think that can happen in this case. Chairman Welch asked for the 1977 letter from the county commissioners to homeowners, and I believe Fran Reck and Portia Foster and Mr. Kohlmeyer have all provided that, and that was the one where they indicated that they brought to the attention of the homeowners there was a right-of-way, and then the homeowners, they proposed the solution of the trail. So that was the initial proposal solution of the trail, and that was rejected. I will tell you that as a mediator and not as the attorney representative of Oregon Shores, that the proposal of solutions in this kind of body or in litigation is that's negotiation and it's not mediation. So when we propose a trail, it's almost assured to be rejected. It's almost assuredly going to be rejected. You have to sit down and determine what your underlying interests are, not your position. We want vacation or we don't want vacation, but what your underlying interests are. And then when you know what your underlying interests are, then you can determine where your commonalities are and you can reach agreement.
Mr. Watkins.
Yes, sir.
I don't want to mediate this committee. I'm not interested at all in that. Two parties have a chance to make that decision. What I would like to hear is if there's anything new to provide us. We've heard a lot of testimony on this already. They brought us forward in the equal legislation. Now we have to make that decision whether or not we're going to act on it or not. And I understand mediation is still something that's out there if we don't decide to act here. So what I'd like to do is hear a little further. Mr. Kohlmeyer has some more to add or anything new. We haven't heard yet testimony from the property owners or some people within the town. This is a very local issue also. And they've narrowed, with the amendment, the approach and makes it even more local. So I think as we look at that, that's what we need to consider right now.
The danger of the dash one amendment, although it's local, it still impacts on Goal 17 and Implementation Requirement 6. It still would eliminate the public right of way without the opportunity for mediation. There's been some discussion about mediation, but it escapes me. I just don't believe that the homeowners have any incentive to seek mediation in good faith if the Dash 1 Amendment is passed in committee. I don't see where the upside is for them to mediate. Senator George has said that Goal 17 is vague. It's not vague in this case. It's very clear. It's very clear in this case. Senator Duke indicated that this had wide-ranging impacts, but in fact, and she raised the issue of the platted roads in Astoria. That's not the issue here, and it wouldn't even apply to Astoria. It's only on coastal roads. The information, the letter you have from Steve Shell that I gave you gives background information on the issue, covers the historical law, how the historical use of the trail existed and how it grew up into the Beachville. It talks about the difficulty of using legislation to answer a court decision, to address a court decision. This is a very complex issue. You've already indicated you don't want the 3,000 pages of testimony, and I don't think you should either. These are the briefs for LUBA here, and they're followed up by literally linear feet of background testimony. It's very difficult to do that decision justice in a legislative decision. We believe that y'all should that would be best left to the courts. Finally, for my part, there's if you chose to disregard the dash one and approve the basic SB 524 agreement, clearly that would damage Goal 17, and it wouldn't resolve the rancor in the city. If you approve the dash one, that'll damage Goal 17. It doesn't bring the parties to the table. It doesn't eliminate the rancor. And we believe that there is a Article 4, Section 23 constitutional issue because it's using legislation to solve a vacation issue. If you table the bill pending mediation and we stay the LUBA decision until the completion of mediation, then there's a chance for the parties to get together. If you kill the bill, we let LUBA go forward, there's a chance for mediation following that decision. So my assessment of your options, the best options for resolution of the issue and elimination of rancor in the community, are to table the bill or kill it and allow mediation to go forward, or the litigation out of LUBA followed by mediation. Subject to your questions, that's all I have.
Any questions from the committee?
Mr. Chair. Have any of these properties changed hands in the last couple of years?
Yes.
When they're being sold, I'm assuming the new owner is buying them now in full recognition that there's, quote, a cloud over their title?
Chair Welch, Representative Merkley, that's correct.
Has that affected the resale value of the properties?
Chair Welch, Representative Merkley, I do not know. I do not know that.
Mr. Kohlmeyer.
Chair Welch, members of the committee, my name is Mike Kohlmeyer, and this testimony is submitted on behalf of Thousand Friends of Oregon. I would first like to address very quickly two issues that came up today, one of which deals with the letter that was submitted dated February 11, 1997, identified as a complaint. It is my recollection that one of the witnesses last week, and I believe it was the same individual that Representative Taylor referred to earlier, talked about making this discovery and going to the county council to inquire about it. And the county council, if I remember her testimony correct, indicated that if she wanted to make a complaint, she had to make a complaint. That they would act upon it if she made a complaint. And I suspect, although I do not know, that this letter was simply submitted to the county council, basically as a request to the county council so that the issue could be addressed. I don't think the county should now be using this as evidence of the unreasonableness of the parties that are opposed to the road vacation. The record of that hearing last week is much better than my memory, and I'm sure you can check and make sure that such an issue was in fact raised. The other quick comment I would like to make is the answer to the first question submitted as supplemental testimony by the Assistant County Counsel. And the question was, does an ORS 368-351 allow a country to vacate a public road right away like South 804 for public hearing? I believe the answer, based upon the clear text of the provision, is yes. The issue that the county council relies upon here is that the state, in this case, might be one of the betters and is probably not likely to sign the petition. That might, in fact, be true in this case due to the way the old right-of-way now encroaches upon the coast. But OR 368-351 clearly gives a county a right to vacate a county road without a public hearing. Now I'd like to go through the testimony that I have submitted, and hope is before you, and I will go through it as quickly as I can in the interest of time. This testimony was prepared based upon the assumption that an amendment was being prepared that would limit this bill to be a Road 804 bill, and limiting it to Road 804 improves it because it it takes away the statewide adverse consequences that would otherwise result. But even if it is limited to the 804 situation, it is, in our opinion, a bad bill, and I will try to explain very quickly why. Our position on this bill, as amended, is based upon our position with respect to Road 804, and that position is based upon a few fairly simple facts. Now, the case itself is fairly complex and has a long and complex history, but I think there are some basic facts that are not too complex. First of all, Road 804, if retained as a right-of-way, would provide access to and along the coast. Second, in 1977, the county recommended compromise and suggested to the property owners that if they would accept a narrow walkway, that the county would uncloud their titles. The property owners apparently rejected that recommendation, and then in 1998, the county gave up on compromise and vacated the road. By giving up the road or vacating the road, they eliminate entirely any chance of retaining any public access across the affected site. And that is why we were opposed to the road vacation decision. Now, the road vacation decision, I think, clearly violates Rule 17. Enclosure 3 is the Rule 17 provisions that are violated, and I'll let you judge for yourself whether or not they are clear or ambiguous. I think they are clear. The department has testified before the county that the Rule 17 requirements is clear and that the road vacation decision simply violates the goal requirements. And we joined the appeal at LUBA to argue that exact point. Nothing more, nothing less. But we are arguing at LUBA what the department argued before the county. The department, in testimony before the county, recommended mediation, and I believe the department again stated today that they believe this problem should be solved by mediation, and they still stand ready to support that process. The opponents of the road vacation decision have also recommended mediation, and I've attached to my testimony the official testimony before the commission from the Thousand Friends of Oregon that clearly recommends mediation and offers our willingness to participate. There's no doubt that mediation is the right way to resolve this particular matter. At the very least, mediation should be given a chance, and the legislature should join with the department in encouraging the parties to do exactly that. The possibility of a legislative fix would encourage, in my opinion, the county to hold out for a result requiring no compromise on its part. The right resolution of this very complex case will almost certainly require compromise on the part of all parties, and this committee can ensure and can encourage the county to consider mediation by withholding any further favorable action on this bill. If you pass it out with a due pass recommendation, that is going to get in the way of mediation rather than encourage it, because it will remove from the county's, it will remove any pressure that the county might otherwise feel to mediate the settlement. As long as there is a legislative fix that's going reasonably well, the county is not likely to seriously mediate. So we would ask you not to pass it along, not to give the county a reason not to seriously consider mediation. And we are ready to immediately stay the LUBA appeal, enter into good faith mediation sponsored by this state, and see what happens. And that's our position on the matter, and we strongly urge you not to take favorable action on this bill today.
Questions on the committee?
Thank you very much. Can I have the mayor and attorney up here for some questioning real quick, please? Arthur Roberts.
Chairman Welch and the members of the committee,
I come here today speaking as a citizen. I spoke at your last hearing as the mayor. And while I still remain the mayor, I want to speak as a citizen because I'm a homeowner. And this time I would like to show you the social impact of the litigious misuse of Goal 17-6. I will not read all of this that I have provided for you. I've also circulated some pictures because some of you have not a good vision of what it looks like. I would like to say, first of all, that the homeowners have viewed the term mediation as a ploy because it has been used from the very beginning. We've never heard anything other than lifetime tenancy or something else. The owners, what could compromise, which Mr. Kallmeyer suggested is the essence of mediation, produce? It would mean that if the 10-foot trail is put in, for example, set back 25 feet from the block as is required, houses would have to come down. Not all of them, some of them. It would mean that the trail perhaps could go through my living room, but in front of somebody else's deck, and through somebody else's garage. There would still be houses on the bluff side if you look at your map. You'd also recognize that all this provides is a lawn and not access to. The city of Yaha has nearly 60% direct shorefront availability to citizens. And across these points are 13 access points, which I dare say is a lot better. I know it's better, a lot better than Depot Bay, for example. I would like for you to notice some of the persons who are affected. And my point today is to show that the vacation of a never-constructed road through three Yaha subdivisions conforms to Oregon's strategic plan goal 2 in maintaining safe, caring, and engaged communities. And that I have shown here that many persons in their 70s, 80s, and 90s live independently, some in each home. And we have been absolutely traumatized by these events. And even though the word mediation appears all the time, nobody ever suggests the details. Never. And I would like to respond, and in one of these cases, in the case of the Kings, you can read about the Kings. This 1977 document, let's just look at that. What the Kings responded to that. On the second page, Philip and Mary Evelyn King live a few doors north of us. The 60-foot-wide paper road also completely transects King's house. When Lincoln County 20-plus years ago asked if owners along Ocean View Drive wanted a trail in front of their homes, Dr. King testified for all about the so-called rural road. Its non-existence is a fact. That's his testimony. The Board of Commissioners agreed that a path across these properties, quote, would have required unanimity from all property owners to be affected, end of quote. After the resounding no vote, it was announced that the, quote, the board plans no further action in this matter. This tells me two things. First of all, the homeowners assumed that their vacation had occurred by subdivision. And furthermore, that they assumed that this satisfied that this was volitional and that it wouldn't work then and it doesn't work now. I would like for you to note, finally, and then I'll be open for questions, on page 3, the Hanson House. Above that, Wendell and Martha Beck. When people testified previously that fences, they climbed over fences to take the, and as if they cluttered the roadway, this was actually an Aqua Vista subdivision where it was already vacated. And the reason for fences, the fences were not put there by the owners to keep people out. They were put there to keep their dogs in, as was ours. And this was built because before we ever heard of this problem. And it was not built with some sort of effort to keep people out. The Hanson House was one of the first built in the 53 Ocean Crest subdivision. Louise was a jolly bridge-playing octogenarian. I think her picture may be there. An empathetic elder in the local church. The resurveyors of the 1890s road right away pounded the center stake 20 feet in front of the window from which she watched whales and play croquet games. One of the pictures shows those stakes. In the Hansen's 4 decades of home ownership, no path or road ever went where that stake was put. Louise suffered from asthma aggravated by stress. Before vacation occurred after brief hospitalization, Louise died at her home by the sea. Family and neighbors were present. We held her hand as she slipped into the next world. This is how a safe, caring community is and should be for senior citizens in Yaha. These stories suffice to confirm that it's compellingly in the public interest to uphold the security of the beachfront homeowners in Yaha. And we appreciate what our Representative Thompson has done for us and what Senator George has provided, because we recognize that the county, in a sense, was doing non-proton now for them to affirm legally what they had assumed had been done previously. And we think all efforts to talk about mediation or to talk about other solutions are really circumlocutions. The fact is that people in Oregon Shores want to take the houses down, and Monty Marshall has said so, and it's in the testimony. And Fran Reck said it the other day, in effect. They want to take the houses down, and it's unjust. I'm open for your questions.
What kind of a position are the landowners in if they go into mediation?
They've asked themselves, what do they mediate? Do they say, well, 6 homes? Parks doesn't want a trail in front of the houses. Parks has already approved our village circulation plan, which puts the trail on Ocean View Drive. Ocean View Drive has historically been called 804, and it's that in my culvert permit. Calls it 804. So does it in Chamberlain's culvert permit. Everybody assumed that 804 and Ocean View were one and the same. If you look at that map, you see that old 804 would go off over the bay and through the Landmark restaurant. That's how crooked the old path was. Our opponents would like to selectively choose which portions of that trail I think are okay and which portions they to be corrected and which portions they don't. And the county has acted wisely to vacate the whole thing, and we're grateful for it as a homeowner, grateful that they vacated that, and we hope to stand. And I think that Lubin and the courts will support us. I would like legislation which would simply stop all of this and provide justice for the people of Yaha. As far as town trauma is concerned, the town is not divided. The town is almost unanimously in favor of this. At the hearings, 199 signatures were got in support of this. And it's not divided, it's just incensed by the actions of a few persons with misguided zeal who assume that they're protecting access when all they're looking at is to improve Bluff View. There is no more access. I mean, there is just as much access vacated as there was unvacated. There would be property lying to the west of this old easement. So that says that people would still have to cross private property, except for the ocean has washed away. And as you indicated, if we were to build any kind of a trail, it would still require taking private property or buying it or something else. And for that reason, Parks would think it's ludicrous to try to build a trail there, so that I see no reason why legislation shouldn't go through to do this. And I sympathize with Senator Duda, who recognizes that there may be other remnant moves somewhere else. And I think that the bill as proposed may be narrow enough to prevent abuse of land use issues and access, but also broad enough perhaps to help out other coastal towns who may be similarly impacted by old remnant loops hidden in files. As far as title companies are concerned, I think the representative Merkley raised some questions about title. We have no records in the subdivisions of 1913 through 53 of any old roadways going through there. In the north, where Mr. Benner and I stood and congratulated ourselves on getting 804 north, there were the titles did show the roadway. It does not show it in our titles. The title companies have been obviously working to support the landowners in this, and I don't know that I can answer any more questions except that the title reports that are shown in preparation for the petition showed no trail, and one of the title companies was loath to take on the case because there was no record of any roadway there until Judge Hogan made them join the other titles and companies in supporting their clients. Thank you. If there are questions, I'd be happy.
Questions?
Yes, just one question.
Captain Gino.
Mr. Chairman, Mayor, what was your last name, Mayor?
Roberts, Arthur Roberts.
Roberts. I see a photo of the Dudley family there in the wheelchair. Has this been harmful to their health?
Of course. I used to meet with him, and he would ask me, Arthur, how's it going with the Fatal Trail business? Is there anything I can do? He'd get a letter from the attorney. Now, how should I fill this out? And other people helped him. And the same way with the Cahoon family, and the same way with the Hanson family and others. And I've detailed this picture because you ought to know the social cost of this. In Yahat's retirement and vacation and tourism, are the two main industries. They drive the town. And in keeping with the state's goal of having safe communities for seniors, I think that vacation is surely in the interest of people who've retired here. And I've detailed in this report how one generation follows another in retiring there and how the homes are sustained. Thank you.
Mr. Chair,
forgive me, we've been discussing this long enough now. I've misplaced a crucial fact. I believe that you have won this in the courts, but it's still under appeal. Is that correct?
Pardon me?
You've won, your position has
yes.
prevailed in the courts, but it's still under appeal?
It's under appeal, yes.
Under appeal to at what level?
At LUBA, the Land Use Board of Appeals. The question is whether it were a land use which the county followed the land use procedures, whether it was all done correctly. And LUBA, as has been reported, supposed to have returned that by March 10th, but it's...
So you're waiting for that right now?
I mean, yes. Mm-hmm.
Is that the final step, or it can be appealed further?
It can be appealed further. The appeal system allows for the LUBA's decision to be appealed to the Court of Appeals and to the Oregon Supreme Court. There have been other cases somewhat analogous to this that have been appealed as far as the Supreme Court.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Hearing none, I'm going to move into close the hearing on Senate Bill 524, open a work session on Senate Bill 524.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator, Representative Morrison.
I would move the -1 amendment to Senate Bill 524.
Representative Morgan moves the -1 amendment to Senate Bill 524. Further discussion. Representative Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to reluctantly support the -1 amendments, and I say reluctantly because I like the bill as originally stands, and because I think it is an issue that's bigger than Yahat. And there's been lots of comments made here today about this process vacating Goal 17. I don't think Goal 17 was ever designed to throw people out of their homes, and so I'm not quite sure that's true. What I'm going to be interested in, Mr. Chair, is the department came to folks and asked for the -1 amendment, saying that they could support that, and then have since backed away from that. And we're seeing agency shuck and jive here, and I just want to see if there's any genuineness in this. So I will support the -1.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, if there's consensus for the bill as it is without the amendment, I'd like to know.
Other comments?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Morgan.
The property owners, and I think that there is consensus that the -1 amendments will allow this bill to move through the system, and that there is a desire to move the -1s with the bill, and that we should concur with that.
Mr. Chair? I haven't been asked to support the -1 amendments or to oppose them, but I can't support.
reported the supposed to have returned that by March 10th, but it's been delayed.
You're waiting for that right now?
I mean, yes.
Is that the final step, or it can be appealed further?
It can be appealed further if the appeal system allows for the Lubas decision to be appealed to the Court of Appeals and to the Oregon Supreme Court. There have been other cases somewhat analogous to this that have been appealed as far as the Supreme Court.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Hearing none, I'm going to move into close the hearing on House Bill, Senate Bill 524, open a work session on Senate Bill 524.
Mr. Chairman.
President Morrison.
Well, I would move the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 524.
Representative Morgan moves the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 524. Further discussion. Representative Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to reluctantly support the Dash 1 amendment, and I say reluctantly because I like the bill as it originally stands, and because I think it is an issue that's bigger than Yahat. And you know, there's been lots of comments made here today about this process vacating Goal 17. I don't think Goal 17 was ever designed to throw people out of their homes. And so I'm not quite sure that's true. What I'm going to be interested in, Mr. Chair, is the department came to folks and asked for the Dash 1 amendment, saying that they could support that, and then have since backed away from that. And we're seeing agency shuck and jive here, and I just want to see if there's any genuineness in this. So I will support the Dash 1.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, if there's consensus for the bill as it is without the amendments, I'd like to know.
Other comments?
Mr. Chair?
President Morgan.
The property owners, and I think that there is consensus that the Dash 1 amendments will allow this bill to move through the system, and that there is a desire to move the Dash 1s with the bill, and that we should concur with that.
Mr. Chair? I haven't been asked to support the Dash 1 amendments or to oppose them, but I can't support the amendment because I don't support the bill, the underlying principle of the bill, and I hope that we might be able to table it pending mediation, or that we might at least postpone it and require that the parties get together. I really dislike the role of our becoming court here in adjudicating something that's a pending decision right now. So I'll oppose the amendment.
Thank you. Other comments? Hearing none. Clerk, please call the roll.
This is on the amendment.
On the amendment. Dash 1.
Representative Cruz?
Aye.
Representative Hackington?
Aye.
Representative Dellum?
No.
Representative Neal?
Aye.
Representative Gordon?
No.
Representative
Berkeley?
Aye.
Representative Morgan?
Aye.
Representative Taylor?
No.
Representative
Welch? Aye. Any required number of votes? Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 524 passed.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Morgan.
I would move Senate Bill 524 as amended to the floor with due pass recommendation.
Representative Morgan moves Senate Bill 524 as amended to the floor with due pass recommendation. Further discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Murphy.
This is a situation currently in the courts, and it's been pointed out that a court ruling was expected on March 10th and is due at any point. That's my first concern in our involving ourselves in this. My second concern is that the parties never engaged in any conversation over areas to compromise. They've exaggerated the impact of such discussions, saying that it was intended to bulldoze their homes, even though from 77 forward there was a proposal put forward to simply put a path in place. I don't know if that path made sense, and I doubt any parties to this discussion know if it made sense, because none of the details as to how it would wind its way among the various buildings and in and out of the right-of-way ever were undertaken. And I can understand, were I a homeowner in this area, I'd probably believe, be resistant to the notion of a path going in the few feet between my house and the bluff also. But I do think the principle of discussing these issues and exploring them certainly should proceed coming to the legislature that asks for a fix. So for those two reasons, I would encourage us to not approve this and to let mediation take its course and let the court case take its course and review this after those two processes are further along.
Further discussion?
Thank you. I will I will support the bill this afternoon as a courtesy that I would reserve the right to look a little bit deeper into it. With the volumes of information, I have a couple of questions in my mind I'd like to study for that on the record.
Mr. Chair.
Ms. Taylor.
Thank you. I'd just like to comment that I don't think anyone on the committee, and I'm surely not without sympathy, for the property owners in Yahas. I think it's really unfortunate that we've come to a place where we're not hearing each other, evidently. Because what I've heard here is there's no intent on the part of the opponents of this measure to ask property owners to bulldoze their property. What the experienced mediator said before us made a lot of sense to me. It might be that the final product of mediation would be to leave things just as they are, or to make slight accommodations for the opponents of the measure. But I think that remains to be seen, and I don't think there's been enough mediation yet, so I will oppose the bill for that reason.
Thank you. Well, what I read in the bill and the proposed amendments is nothing that precludes them from making any kind of a decision at some point in time. Yes, it does. It does involve the legislature ahead of any kind of a decision out of the courts. But we also have heard from our county commissions that if it is a decision, they would certainly appreciate from the legislature along with local government, along with local property owners, and only those who are opposing are on the outside. They are not at the local level, other than maybe one or two people, even one of them that gave testimony here living right on the 804 line. So I think it is our opportunity to pass legislation that will help resolve this, hopefully, in an effort to certainly honor the local decision makers and property owners in this situation. I think we can do that, and hopefully this will help them move forward and to begin to heal. But it doesn't sound like Yahas as a town has anything necessary to heal from. It's only the outsiders who have come in and given lengthy testimony and have a philosophy that we should say with the purest form of 804. And many times we've been asked as a legislature to make exceptions and to grandfather situations as this. So I certainly have no problem passing this legislation forward. Representative Gianella.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I just feel like the passage of this bill may take away the fears that the homeowners have, and then they would be able to open their arms and make some offers without feeling like the aggressive action of a group had come against them. It would alleviate the fears of losing their homes or losing their property, and then they could reach out and offer what they wanted to. Thank you.
Thank you. President Cruz.
I guess part of the frustration here is that we have a state agency who controls basically the land use system in the state of Oregon based on the Portland metropolitan area, which is what they were initially designed to do was control urban sprawl in the Willamette Valley, and they've done an interesting job of that. But the frustration here is that we have county government in this case, and in other cases, making land use decisions that make sense for the county, and they can't get any closure out of that decision because of what the state agency does when they intercede, and that's my frustration. And when we have those sorts of situations, I think it's important for the legislature to intervene. We are the ones that created the agency that's doing this.
Thank you very much.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Yes, please, go for it.
I just would like to say that I think that Representative Cruz's comments were not necessarily germane to this bill, and also that I think that the state agency has shown that they are very interested in trying to figure out some kind of compromise here.
Thank you.
I will convince that.
Thank you. Representative Devlin. Mr. Chairman, Representative Morgan and I, I'm the only member of the committee that is, other than the chair, this is a chair has also. No comment. I'll just go. I'm the first place to call the roll. Remember me. Well, let's try that.
Representative Morgan.
Senate Bill 524 is amended, passed the floor to do pass recommendation.
Chair, I serve notice of a possible minority report.
Okay, and Senator Taylor serves notice of a possible minority report. Representative Taylor, excuse me, I'm second senator.
Courtesy, I'll join you.
And Representative Devlin serves possible notice of a minority report. Who would like to carry this bill?
Hello.
Would you like to carry this,
though?
Yes, Gianella would like to carry this. Okay. We close the work session on Senate Bill 524. Let's open up quickly on House Bill 2979 and hear from the department, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, I'm Paul Clary, Director of the Division of State Land. Unfortunately, I don't have written comments prepared for you here. I just got the Dash 4 amendments right before lunch, but I'll get this typed up and get it to Christina so you've got that. I think it's interesting to note that in the span of less than 3 weeks, this bill has gone from one that would establish a minimum lease rate of 14 cents a square foot, which is about 10 times what we currently charge for our marina mortgages, the one that would establish a fixed lease rate ranging from 3/4 cents to 14 cents per square foot depending on use, which for our retail and restaurant lessees would be about an 85% reduction in leases, to one that would require individualized property-by-property appraisals and make the division obviously a major friend and benefactor of the Oregon Appraisers Association before I could even possibly tell you what the lease rate would be. It's been a real whirlwind tour of proposals and has gone from one end of the spectrum to the other. But in fairness to the sponsors, it somewhat mirrors the same tour that we have been on over the past 3 years and 30 public meetings, hearings, and workshops. Also in fairness, we also started out with proposals that we have since totally discarded or substantially revised. Because we have the luxury of time, we are able to probably make some more measured and considered revisions to those proposals and have the detailed modeling of lessee effects and revenue gains and losses and continued interaction with our lessees and other interested publics. I think, in my opinion, it's now time to let this process play itself out and have the land board perform the same function that legislative assemblies have relied on it to perform for the past 140 years. And that is establish administrative rules and rates for the management of state-owned lands and state leasing programs. On June 8th, we'll be presenting recommended waterway lease rule and rate revisions to the State Land Board for final adoption. We'll be sending out summaries of those to all of our lessees next week. We believe that those revisions will result in substantial improvements over our current leasing program, and we want to get those improvements underway. The board will review those recommendations on June 8th, will take additional public comment at that time, and then make their decision. But we also recognize that the proof is in the pudding. Even though we think we're proposing substantial improvements and revisions that we've proposed in just the last week, we believe have addressed a number of the concerns that this bill attempts to. We also recognize that the proof is in the pudding, and we are stipulating that there be a structured review of our program implementation with direct lessee involvement, a status report in 6 months, a formal lessee survey and evaluation report in 18 months. Any necessary program revisions will be implemented in an inclusive and timely manner. And I think this perhaps illustrates, in my mind, what is the greatest benefit of continuing to rely on the state land board to deal with the complexities of leasing program development and implementation. The fact that the land board meets every other month, not every other year, and can make the immediate adaptive management and corrective actions that are necessary and make them via my bimonthly lesson in humility. We'd urge the committee to continue to rely on the state land board by not adopting House Bill 2979. We'll report to the committee on the land board's June 8th action and would be pleased to include the committee in our program implementation review and reporting process over the next 18 months. Thank you.
I know that could be said by those who don't know that this committee will be open. If you do get that opportunity, it won't be another committee. It won't be this one, as I understand. Other than that, we'd be shut down by that time. We will, and I appreciate you bringing this forward. We'll continue to work on this issue here. As,
Yes,
and I think we have some others that did come in. Some of the leases would like to give a little testimony here. I do want to respect them and honor their presence and give them a chance to talk to us too.
I was asked by another member of why the log raft shouldn't pay the same rate as a marina or a moorage. And as I recall from seeing the rate proposals from the division, if we went to the straight flat rate, their charges would be, would actually put them out of business. There would be no question. Is that still the case? Does this measure, as we're seeing it now, still call for
the
beyond the inventory and the things that Mr. McCauley told us? Does it still address that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Taylor, you're right to be concerned about log rafts, and we've been concerned about log rafts as well. Historically, the log raft rate has been one half of the marina moorage rate. I think to reflect the somewhat incidental use, they're not always occupied with rafts. They are generally in lower value areas and in rural areas. We've been seeing lessees want to come in and cut back on the size of their log raft. It somewhat reflects the decline in timber harvest as well as the increased reliance on trucking as opposed to movement by water. But that's what one of the things we've tried to provide for in the choice model is for those rural areas, allow them to have a rate that's substantially less than what we'd be charging in our more urban areas, and continue that historical relationship of one half the rate of the marina mortgages. We don't want to drive anybody off the water.
As I recall, thank you, Mr. Chair, the lessees with whom I met in Astoria, whose contention is that they represent a small number of the lessees, but that they in Newport waterfront owners pay half
right.
of revenue right. to the division. When I looked at those at the proposal of the division, it seemed to me that under the proposal or the choice rate or the upland
right.
value consideration, none of them went up. They all maintained, at least.
Right.
So I guess the shortfall that you face, the shortcoming you face with your work is that you've not been able to decrease the rate for those lessees.
Right. Mr. Chair, Representative Taylor, in our most recent revision, we indeed are going to decrease the rate across the board for those lessees. We're going to go from from what used to be 6% of assessed value to 5%. And we will also have a ceiling of no more than 40 cents per square foot. So some of them that are currently paying in the 60 cent per square foot or range or so, the most you'd ever pay would be 40 cents. So almost across the board, what we call the non-marine uses or extension upland uses are going to go down because they have made the case, and we've heard that their rates were getting out of line with what was the reasonable market base rate. And as a result, our new proposal is going to basically not generate an additional dime. I think we've got a $7,000 estimated increase, but I can tell you we're making adjustments for leases on a regular basis as people are coming in, reducing the size of their leases and saying we don't need to carry this much acreage. So that's why we're interested in moving forward on June 8th, because we do think there's a lot of people that are out there waiting to see the rates reduced, one, before they sign up. I kind of feel like I'm a computer seller, and people know that there's a new model coming out, and they're not willing to buy the model I've got right now because they know the price is going to get cut in a third tomorrow. So.
Okay.
Thank you,
Carl. I appreciate it. Again, let's see. We have those up in the front row here that would like to speak on this bill.
He's ready.
He's ready. I'm ready for him. I don't want to take a bunch of time here. I just want to give you a chance here.
Got it on one page.
Excellent, sir. I appreciate it.
Just got to find the page.
Chairman Welch, members of the committee, I'm Bill Montgomery. I live at number 12 Portland Rowing Club, a houseboat moorage in Portland. The bill before you, 2979, proposed by Representative Roger Beyer, will make the Department of State Lands accountable for the fees and levies on waterway leases, the proceeds from which they pay to themselves. It will daylight their money activities by mandating a flat rate method of fees on waterway leases. This flat rate water area acre method mandated by Bill 2979 is simple, equitable, easy to figure out, market-driven, and most important, transparent. It fulfills the criteria of a leasing method published by the State Land Board. The DSL's counterproposal does not meet State Land Board requirements or the recommendations of their own task force. This bill is not about exact rates or total amount of income. It is about the method of charging and DSL accountability to you and the taxpayers. Without this legislation, the DSL will force through their choice model of charging, combining a flat rate, real estate tax, and income tax. The DSL's choice model would complicate even more the present system, which has led to their arrogance and duplicity in individually bargained rates based on a one-in-one closing booth bargaining method, which has in turn perpetuated gross inequities and wild variations in rates paid by adjacent waterway lessees of identical use. The Department of State Lands is under the State Land Board, Governor, Secretary of State, and State Treasurer. We know the State Lands Board's priorities are schools, fish recovery, and native resource concerns, all worthy goals and priorities. But their hands are tied. They meet with DSL 2 hours every 2 months, and pretty well must go along with DSL's technical recommendations or fire them and hire a new bunch. The devil's in the details, and Bill 2979 is our chance to save DSL from seducing themselves by detail manipulation, resulting in diversion of school and fish recovery money to their own needs, primarily their own pay. If other uses for waterway lease money are worthy, they are worthy enough for public review and future approval. To paraphrase Dana Carvey, paraphrasing President George Bush, DSL's self-empowering proposed rules and choice model, bad. Representative Byers proposed 2979, good. Now, there are two other quick items that are not on your regular menu. After writing this testimony, which I'll submit to you in written form, I've read Director Clary's previous testimony to you. I believe it's full of half-truths. For instance, encountering this bill, he uses an example of assumed inequity. First, the actual rate is not specified in the bill. It's the manner of charging that we are concerned about. Second, any inequities will actually be remedied by the solid management and review within the DSL review system mandated in this bill. There are certainly many inequities and inconsistencies in waterway lease fees now. The DSL's proposal would make them worse. This bill is a solid step toward fairness and equity. The last item is I've been fighting this battle for 25 years. We have always fine-tuned administrative rules. That's been the remedial action. And we have gone through successive administrations of DSL employees. I don't think they all could have been bad. I think it was the rules that are subversive. And we have a chance now to give a format. And it will actually do them some good, although they'll resist losing any power. And I certainly think they are now. But it will actually help them to have a format in which to deal. Thank you. Chairman Welch, you got any questions?
From the committee.
I got them all to sleep.
I believe the department has had hearings in many different cities. Have you attended any of them?
I've attended most of them. Chairman Wilson, Representative Taylor, I've attended most of them, and Representative Taylor, it's my impression that they were psychotherapeutic, not informative.
Well, I attended some also, sir, and I have the feeling that the department is not doing their work in the dark and undercover, as you insinuate, but that they are really listening to the persons who are paying these leases.
Chairman Welch, Representative Taylor, I agree with you, and I think that they are doing their work as they see it. I think they have been seduced by too many field decisions. They get a format to deal with, and they say 50% of this judge is a judgment call, and it's too much for them to handle. Specifically on these hearings, I've been to most of them that I'm physically able to get to. I'm limited physically. And they started by saying, and I'm not so I'm supposed to be good now. Our Secretary of State Cajun gave me the business. He said, I'm supposed to be polite. So I'm trying to be polite. The representative, it takes me a little work. The representative of ESL said at this first meeting over about 4 years ago, well, this has been the way it's going to be. You guys better like it, and that's the way it is. And gave us a study that thick. We have asked for hearings. Director Clary's been very cooperative in giving these hearings. And they listen, Representative Taylor, but they do not react. It is their manifest destiny to have this complicated, individually bargained program. There are abuses, but abuses would be addressed in a different venue. Anything else, sir?
Mr. Chair, question. Are you aware of any other state having this sort of flat rate?
Chairman Welch, Representative Merkley, yes, I am aware of the state of Washington has been examining this. They have much more of a state land board business than we do on the waterways, at least. And they have been examining these things exhaustively. And they have had combinations of different things. And they have not come to a decision as yet. I have had quoted to me several times by DSL folks that, well, other states do it. I'm awfully glad he wasn't in charge of Buchenwald because he might have called Auschwitz to find out the technique. And that doesn't make it right. It makes it a precedent, but it doesn't make it correct. We are trying to get down to basics and to do the thing right once and for all.
So Washington State has explored it, and there are no other states you're aware of that have adopted it?
I'm sorry, but...
No other states you're aware of that have adopted it?
No, I don't have this. I'm not a student of this stuff, and I don't have specific instances.
Just from a very common sense point of view, why should the state rent a property in a prime location that has much more market value at the same time?